And just to kind of bring us back up where we left off, chapter 25 covered Esau and Jacob being born and kind of picking up their story. And then chapter 26, James went over last week, kind of showed the middle part of Isaac's life and the journeys he conquered and stuff. And what we're going to see here in 27 is more of like the later years of Isaac's life, and we're going to be picking back up with Esau and Jacob. So, Genesis chapter 27, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said, That being Esau, behold, here am I. Verse 2. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. So here Isaac's a lot older now. We can see he's not very good at seeing. And verse 2, he's saying, I'm in my later years, I don't know the day of my death. But just using the context, we could tell he's not on his deathbed, but it can be any day now. So verse 3. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out of the field and take me some venison. So Isaac's calling Esau, hey, I want some deer meat, basically. So if we look back, Genesis chapter 25, verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So Isaac kind of favored Esau because he had a taste for venison, and Esau was a hunter of the field. So that's why he called his firstborn. Back to Genesis 27, verse 4. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, Jacob being the younger of the twins, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. So Rebekah's bringing Jacob up to speed, like, this is what's going on, this is what Isaac is requesting of Esau, and just kind of bringing him up to speed. And remember back in chapter 25, God told Rebekah while these two were still in her womb that the younger son would rule over the older son. So we'll kind of see how that takes place. But Rebekah's just informing Jacob of what's going on. And obviously Isaac's kind of unaware of God speaking to Rebekah at this time. So Genesis chapter 27, verse 8. Now therefore, my son, so this is Rebekah speaking to Jacob, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Verse 9. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. So, basically, something to keep in mind here, this chapter really shows a good example as to why you can't study and read out of context, because I read a lot of commentaries going over this chapter, and there were two pieces of information that Jacob and Rebekah had that Isaac wasn't aware of. So he's telling Esau to bring him some venison so he can pass on that covenant between him and God to Esau. But God told Rebekah firsthand that Jacob was to carry on that blessing. And another thing, if we remember back in chapter 25, Esau traded his birthright, that inheritance, for, and I made the reference, a crock pot of stew, showing that Esau never took his relationship with Christ, or with God at this time, serious. So Esau kind of done all this to himself. He never had that relationship with God. So we're going to kind of see how that takes place here. So back to Rebekah giving Jacob instruction. Verse 10. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. So she's telling Jacob the same instruction Isaac told Esau, except to get the best lamb of the flock, basically, to use that instead of venison. So studying through this, it kind of seemed very familiar. And we just went over Passover a couple months ago. So if we look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, this is instruction for the Passover. Verse 5 in Exodus. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So once again, we're seeing the instruction for Passover. They were to take that lamb, that pure male lamb, and use it for sacrifice for basically the blessing. So now we're kind of seeing how Rebekah's instructing Jacob to do the same thing. Instead of deer meat, she's telling him, take the lamb, we'll prepare the meat, fine meat. So I just thought that was kind of a neat comparison there. But back to 27, verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Verse 12. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and shall seem to him as a I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me. So Jacob's telling his mom, you know, Harry's an Esau man, I'm a smooth man. No, my dad can't see very well, but if he feels me, he's going to know that Esau obviously had to be a pretty hairy man. But he's saying, look, I don't want a curse to be upon me. But, well, let's keep going. Verse 13. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. So we got to remember, Rebekah knows from God firsthand that Jacob is to carry on this covenant. So Jacob's kind of worried about, well, if I'm deceiving, or my father thinks I'm deceiving him, then he's going to curse me. But Rebekah's giving him that reassurance of, if there's a curse, I'll take the curse upon me. But this is really showing Rebekah's relationship with God, that she has trust in his word and his path to prove, I'll take the curse. You just obey my voice, because she's speaking of God's will. And kind of see the difference there between, going back to chapter 25, Esau's relationship with God. He traded that covenant for food, a fleshly need. He didn't have that same trust in God. So verse 14, Genesis chapter 27, 14. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, raiment being his clothing, what he wore, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. So Rebekah's disguising Jacob as Esau. So remember, Isaac can't see very well, but he can still feel, he can still smell. So they're just kind of disguising him. Verse 16. Pay attention here. And she put the skins of the kids of goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. So she actually, like I said, Esau obviously had to be a very hairy man, but that she's disguising Jacob as Esau, so she's putting those skins around him, so if Isaac feels them, he'll be hairy. So another kind of neat analogy here is he's surrounding himself basically with the lamb, that pure lamb. So if we look here in John chapter 1, verse 29, it reads, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So here Christ is being compared to that lamb. Well, John calling Christ the lamb, what are we seeing here? Jacob's being covered or surrounded by that lamb, which is what we should be doing with Christ. We should cover ourselves with the word of God and with Christ, and through that, our blessings will take place. So I thought that was just another neat kind of metaphor there. So back to 27, verse 17. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So remember now, Jacob's got Esau's clothes on. He's got the lamb fur on his neck and on his hands. Verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? So just kind of hearing Jacob's voice, Isaac can tell something's a little different. Verse 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. Verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. So James covered this in chapter 26. You know, there was a famine going on in the land at this time. So we got deer hunters in here. Seth could tell you, you go sit in a tree stand, it may take 2 hours to kill a deer. It may take all season, right? So, but there was a famine there, and it affected their meat population. They didn't have, you know, a Walmart to go to go buy meat and stuff, or a, you know, slaughterhouse. So it just took time. And Isaac's telling them, look, you got it quickly. What in the world? Verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. So Rebekah could kind of tell this was going to take place. Verse 22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So Isaac was feeling Jacob because he couldn't see very well, and Rebekah covering him with that lambskin. He felt hairy, but Isaac could still kind of tell something wasn't quite right. Verse 23. And he discerned him not, Isaac being Jacob, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Verse 24. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. So once again, Isaac just trying to reassure that this is Esau he's passing this covenant down to. Verse 25. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Verse 26, And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. Verse 27, And he came near, and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. So Rebekah putting those clothes, Esau's clothes, on Jacob, he could smell that smell of the field. So Jacob was pretty good disguised as his brother Esau. Verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. So Isaac's passing on the blessing. This was that covenant that was made between Abraham and God, and it was to be passed down from generation to generation. And that term, the dew of heaven, meaning being able to sustain agriculture, basically. You got to have water, you got to have good soil. And the term, the fatness of the earth, meaning being able to grow the best from the earth. So able to withstand the best from the world, the best food, the best fuel source, to be able to survive and spread his seed. Verse 29. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. And notice that's lowercase L. I know we talked about that a lot. Lord over his brethren, not Lord of lords. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So, once again, that Lord being lowercase L, pay attention to stuff like that. But this is basically showing, giving Jacob that predominance over others, to be the head over his brother, over other nations, that same covenant we've seen between God and Abram. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. So let's see what goes down here. So now Jacob inherited the blessing, went on. Well, now Esau comes back with deer meat. So verse 31, and he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless thee. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. So now Isaac's kind of confused. And remember, him being in his older days, you can kind of put in context that he's, I don't want to say he's on his deathbed, but he's in his final few days of life. And those of you who well know, on your deathbed, you start getting a little more incoherent. People start getting confused, things like that. So I just want to show how Isaac favored Esau because he liked his venison and stuff. So Rebekah and Jacob aren't necessarily lying and stealing this blessing. They're just carrying out the will of God. But we'll hit more on that later. But verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Ye and he shall be blessed. Verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. So pay attention to what Esau's doing here. Isaac's already passed down his blessing, that covenant. So instead of Esau praying to God of, God, give me a blessing, then it's almost like he's praying to his father. Still kind of showing that there's not really a relationship between Esau and God. Verse 35. And he said, thy brother come with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. Verse 36. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. That's a lie. We know in chapter 25, Esau gave up his birthright because he was hungry. So there's a lie there. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? So once again, he's kind of manipulating his father, so to speak, his dad, Isaac, and now he's asking him, well, do you have any more blessings? He needs to be asking God for a blessing at this point. Isaac wasn't necessarily blessing Jacob. He was just passing down his blessing to Jacob. And when he says here, is Jacob not rightly named? So Jacob's name means heel grabber or supplanter. And a supplanter is someone or something that takes the place of another, often by force or scheming. So when we take it back to the manuscripts, okay, Esau's kind of using this like a play on words, because yes, Jacob and Rebekah are kind of taking it by force, kind of scheming, but Esau gave up his birthright when they were younger. And once again, we got to remember that Rebekah and Jacob are carrying out God's will. Rebekah knew this information from God. And obviously, Isaac was kind of unaware of both of these situations, or else him being a righteous man would have stepped in. But if you notice, I know I said it before, but if you notice, Esau's not necessarily a bad man. He never shows or necessarily has that relationship with God. So once again, that's one of the most important things to pay attention to here is Esau, or Jacob and Rebekah they're not corrupting this blessing. They're just carrying out God's will. So verse 37, and Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? So Isaac telling Esau, I've passed my blessing from God down to Jacob. So, what can we do with you, Esau? Verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. So once again, Esau kind of praying to his dad, praying to Isaac, and not praying to God. Isaac's already told him, I've already passed my blessing down. So still that relationship between him and God. So verse 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. So Isaac's passing him down, kind of the, I read this as like the land and kind of the physical inheritance he had left to give Esau. Although it's kind of similar to Jacob's, but it's definitely not that inheritance from God. So verse 40. And by thy sword shall thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So Isaac is pretty much prophesying here that Esau's descendants, which are the Edomites, will live through war and physical violence. And the further along and along we're going to go, we're going to see just how physically violent him and his descendants were. Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of his blessing, wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. So he knows Isaac's living in his final days. So he said, Look, when my father passes, I'm taking out my brother Jacob. So he's kind of already got that in the back of his head. And we're not going to flip there, but we're going to see in 2 Kings chapter 8 how the Edomites actually revolt from under the hand of Judah. And Judah representing Jacob's descendants. So once we get to 1 and 2 Kings, we're going to see that this prophecy from Isaac take place. And the further along and along we get, we're going to see how these descendants and great nations through battles and stuff all kind of tie back to these origins. But verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. So Rebekah overheard it. She's informing Jacob, your brother Esau is planning on slaying you. So she's bringing Jacob back up to speed again. Verse 43. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Few days, not literally meaning one or two days. We're going to see how this ended up being a pretty good period of time, but she's just telling Jacob, flee until Esau cools off. You know, I don't need any conflict between y'all right now. Verse 45. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? So once again, just flee, let your brother cool off. We don't need anything, you know, your father's on his deathbed. Let's keep the peace right now. Verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. So if Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? So Rebekah's telling Isaac this to kind of keep the peace to Isaac, and using this kind of as a distraction for this is why Jacob's leaving the land. Not because him and Esau's planning on killing him. And this is another verse that kind of shows that Isaac might not have been fully coherent at the time. He was on his later years. But one of the biggest things we could take away from this chapter, and chapter 25, this chapter kind of piggybacks off of chapter 25, but once again, this shows in Esau's life how we have to take our relationship with God serious. We have to have a relationship with Him, not to give in to those worldly, fleshly needs. And another thing is, like we've seen with Jacob putting that lambskin on him, surrounding yourself with the Lamb of God, which is Christ, the Word of God, and you will be see and be blessed from it. So the last thing I want us to pay attention to here is reading a lot of people's commentaries and stuff over this chapter. If you just read this chapter standalone, it reads like Rebekah and Jacob are stealing God's blessing. But all in all, if you read from start to finish the whole story from 25, you see that they're carrying out God's blessing. God prophesied Jacob from the beginning. So God kind of knew Esau before he was born in the first world age. So he kind of knew his mindset. And then Esau always giving into those fleshly needs. So it's just important when you're studying God's word not to take one verse, even one chapter out of context. Read the whole story and know what's going on. But I think that's all I really have this morning. Poppy, you got anything? Does anybody have anything on their hearts, on their minds? Any prayer requests come up?